Absence works. Maybe it's the way it's being taught or the way that it's being applied out there. But the fact of the matter is, it is the best form of to teach our children.
I wanna be a cowboy, and you can be my cowgirl. I wanna be a cowboy.
Well, I guess it could be worse. We could have, instead of Donald Trump, you could have Rick Perry as the Republican nominee. I could have that guy. Abstinence works. We just must not be practicing it right. Anyway, Rick Perry had another beautiful comment after yesterday's speech by Hillary Clinton. Rick Perry was quoted as saying, "Donald Trump will peel her skin off in a debate setting." Perry said, "Donald Trump will peel off her skin in a debate setting. And actually, he'll peel it off this evening." Out in San Jose as well. And I'm going, you know, how did you come up with peel her skin off? A very, very interesting choice of words. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about the big speech and, of course, the reaction that came along with it, Bob Wiener. Wienerpublic.com, the website. He was a former spokesperson of the Clinton White House, now doing his thing on his own. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
It's a pleasure, Rick. But you know what the problem with Rick Perry's analogy is? He couldn't remember what the third layer of skin was.
And, you know, that's probably true. But I look at this and I'm going, that's really a very curious kind of bizarre thought.
Yeah. And then Trump's reaction to Hillary, forget about substance. It's lying Hillary, political, she's going to jail. What about the bizarre rants, the dangerous nukes to Japan, don't support NATO, Iran's okay in Syria, you've offended our strongest allies? Nothing on that. Hillary scored big time, credibly, and it turns out that she's got a 20-point edge on Trump in who has the better temperament to handle foreign policy, and she showed why in that speech.
But do you think she moved anyone, any of the Trump supporters away, or do you just think that at this point the Trump supporters are your fives and you leave them alone?
She's not worried about the Trump supporters. She's worried about the independents. And any independent who wanted to have a country that has a sane foreign policy run with reason, despite her warts, despite her mistakes, despite what Tom Cole said this morning on the failures during her tenure, God knows you want that kind of reasoning that she has versus the impulse out of your rear compulsive foreign policy that Trump does.
I tend to agree with you, but there are a lot of folks who would point to those failures during Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State as, you know, maybe not making the right choices, even though she did it in the right way.
Well, you know, get to the bottom line, though. We have 95% fewer troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. So people who say, you're still fighting the war in Iraq, you're still fighting in Afghanistan. You know, Obama did earn his Nobel Peace Prize by pulling 95% of the troops out and only having a residual force so you actually can do something about Al-Qaeda / ISIS. What, are we supposed to sit on our rears and do nothing about them? You've got to have something that can conduct special ops and be a base to work from. So he's doing just the right thing, and he did keep his promises. And Hillary was a big part of that, plus got bin Laden, unlike Bush, who told the Afghanis and the Pakistanis what we were doing, and they let bin Laden slip out of Bora Bora. Obama kept it secret, took the SEALs privately, was telling jokes to the National Press Club with a straight face with this laser sense of importance and priorities that he has. While he was telling those jokes, he was spearheading and then watching in the Situation Room, literally the photos of our SEALs who crashed their first helicopter, thought the mission was dead meat, and somehow kept that mission going privately and got bin Laden, which Bush had given up on. So how is that a failure?
Oh, I'm not going to argue that it is, but you know, at the end of the day, you've got the Benghazi crowd still running around screaming about that. In fact, I'm not sure what Trey Gowdy's going to trot out here in a couple of months.
Well, let me tell you what Trey Gowdy didn't trot out, Rick. He actually came out and said it wasn't true that the military could have done anything more, and he conceded what the 13 other investigations found. Next, they're going to have to concede that Hillary asked for embassy support of $500 million more a year before Benghazi, and only a year after it did the press release come out from the Foreign Relations Committee saying we are now full funding embassy support that the administration requested. And why? only because they were embarrassed about it from Benghazi. Hillary asked for that support. And third, it was a video that overlaid, and the guy who was arrested, the one guy they got from Benghazi, the guy who threw the bomb that they got in jail, was arrested saying they used the video as an overlay for support and then threw the bomb after the crowd was riled up, and they used that as a base to rile the crowd up. So as the New York Times said, but got very little real magnified coverage from it, it was a combination of the video and a terror attack. So there was no there on any of this Benghazi stuff.
Yeah, see, now that's a lot more nuanced. That's a lot more complicated than just she didn't do anything. I mean,
right.
Now you're explaining stuff, and you know, people don't want facts.
And now let's talk about her emails.
Oh, do we have to talk about the damn emails?
Because you got to read down to the bottom paragraph of every story that says it wasn't classified at the time, so you can always classify after, but therefore there was no legal break and there was no malicious intent. In fact, having Bill Clinton's private server, the former president of the United States, was safer than the White House, which has been hacked, OPM, which has been hacked, Homeland Security, which has been hacked, Target, which has been hacked. So they had a safer, more secure email, and there was no malicious intent for any violation of national security secrets.
So
there's no there, and only you're going to get another report from the FBI, same as the State Department, which is going to say, bad girl, bad judgment, which she's already agreed to.
Okay, yeah, but here's the thing. Why isn't she taking that position then? Because instead of saying, well, you know, Colin Powell did it and Condi did it, I was just doing like everybody else was doing. Why isn't she saying that, look, our computer systems are antiquated. We need to be investing and upgrading, and we need to make sure that our things don't get hacked as often as they are. And this was a simpler way to make sure that things got done.
The real answer is what Carville said, that she didn't want Louis Gohmert combing through her emails. And by the way, on your Colin Powell point and Condi Rice, Colin Powell erased and got rid of all of his emails, complete zero in turning over to the National Archives, even though he was asked and Condi was asked, and the only one who turned him over was Hillary. Powell didn't turn him over because he didn't want people to know that he had supported and had a lie in the UN and that it wasn't weapons of mass destruction. He was embarrassed and called that his worst moment. Condi didn't want her emails and never turned them over because she didn't want anybody to know that she supported torture. So these people destroy their emails, don't turn them over, and Hillary's the only one who does and gets blamed for doing it.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, you know, and this is where maybe that what you're saying isn't getting out, because
right.
Virtually everybody I talk to says, well, Hillary's the only one who had a private server. They all had private email addresses, but she set it up just to not to hand over her emails. And I'm going, no, they all had private servers. That's the point of having a private email. They didn't all have Yahoo accounts.
Right. But and you know, when there was a hacking attempt on her email, her staff was smart enough to block it and to stop emails after there was an attempt. It never happened. Unlike, as I ticked off that list, the White House, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Veteran Affairs, all these departments, the federal government, people are getting in. You remember the big thing, Office of Personnel Management, all people's Social Security numbers and everybody, Office of Personnel Management, all the key people in the White House and all the executive agencies hacked. Bill Clinton's house, not hacked.
But someone did give the Monica emails, though. I just had to throw that out there. But here's the thing, and this is where I looked at her speech yesterday, and she was, in my view, very presidential. You can see her
yes.
in that role, and I think that will help her against Trump. But will it help her against Bernie in California Tuesday?
Well, I sent an email to my friends in the Hillary campaign, and I told them that I thought it was good timing. I thought it was substantive. It was fun. It had great audience reaction, except for the 10 minutes in the middle when she started reading faster without allowing audience reaction. But her beginning and end were masterful use of put-downs of Trump's own words. And people saw in all the breadth and depth of what she talked about that she's got it all over Bernie in terms of, you know, I like Bernie, by the way, and his economic message is terrific. She's picking up on it, and she's got Elizabeth Warren with her. But on foreign policy, nobody's going to touch her.
She's got Elizabeth. Back up the bus. She's got Elizabeth Warren with her now?
She is out there saying all the things of why we have to beat Trump, and Hillary's on the phone regularly with Elizabeth Warren. The split second, here's what I think is going to happen. You know, everybody says Bernie's staying in it till the convention. They always forget the second half of the sentence that Jane Sanders said. Unless he says he's out, Bernie says, until the last ballot is cast. That translates as when California and New Jersey are done, he's having a news conference with Love and Harmony, to me. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at some point, if he doesn't have the votes, he's going to have to do that to try
my,
and
my
bring...
assistant sees the screen when Bernie's on and yells at the TV screen, says, "Will you leave already?" I mean, it's getting to that.
Well, I don't know. I got friends in California who are thrilled to death that he's there.
He's accomplished a lot, and it's great that he did. And he moved Hillary, moved around the trade deals, moved around the 1%, moved around the importance of not being in Wall Street's pocket. A lot of things he moved around. But you're going to tell me that you're going to compare Hillary to Trump? You know, she's got to get Bernie's kids. I told Podesta, I met with him and told him and gave him an op-ed that I did on reaching millennials. She's got to go after the millennials, and she's got to talk about Wall Street and drug legalization and jobs and school loans and paying for them and all the things that kids care about forthright and directly. And Podesta said, well, we're going to send kids out. I said, John, that's not good enough. She's got to address these issues. And I handed him the op-ed. And then I saw about 15 minutes later, he was in a corner of the room reading the op-ed. So, you know, I would suggest to our listeners, to be honest, go to my website, wienerpublic.com. And I don't mean to push it, you know, an
ad. Push it.
But go to wienerpublic.com and click on op-eds and then click on 2016 and go over the last five of them. And you'll see the myth about health care costs rising because they're half of what they were before Obamacare. And you'll see that millennials, how to reach millennials, is, I think, the key one, because that's what Hillary's got to do to get Bernie's kids.
She's got to definitely figure out how to do that. But at the end of the day, the narrative, and maybe you'll push back against it, and one that I actually kind of buy into, is the second Bernie's out, she's racing back to the middle.
I don't think so, because she knows she's got to get Bernie's kids. And Elizabeth, that's where the Elizabeth Warren factor comes in, who will run around with her. And Bernie is going to be running around with her. He'll take the 1 minute of cry time. But, you know, after that, he'll be running around with her, because he has said he wants to do everything he can. And he has even said you can't compare Hillary to Donald Trump. She's 1,000 times better. And Bernie has said that.
No, I'm with you. And that's where my and I've said this from the very beginning. When our primary was here, I said from the beginning, I voted for Bernie, and I'm very honest about that. And yep. In November, I was going to vote for Hillary or Bernie, whichever it was going to be, because nobody on the Republican side seems to be sane or rational. And now that they've taken a reality TV character and made him their nominee, that makes it that much simpler to vote for either one of Bernie or Hillary.
You know, McConnell is about the most honest of the bunch, saying he's irrational, he can't offend people like the governor of New Mexico, Hispanics, and now Trump with his lawsuit going after the judge because he's Hispanic. There's a good reason to go after a judge. And so today people are saying that he is just ripped off any chance. The Hispanic people that babble on the shows are just saying he's ripped off any shred of an option with Hispanics. So McConnell is saying that people are going to be doing ticket splitting, and that's what's going to happen in this election. I think that it's a disaster for them. And now the House is even talking, Rick, about taking back the House. It's the first time that that's coming up because of the options of a wave election.
Yeah, I don't see the Democrats taking back the House because it's so badly gerrymandered.
It's only about 15 seats. Yeah. It's not that much. That's, you flip and you get 30 and you've got it, because that's the margin.
Well, it'd be nice to see. I'm still hoping for the Senate, and I think
right.
It's very possible.
And the odds that I've seen, you know, all the Politico and da da da, it's like about 75-25 odds of the Democrats taking the Senate. But you know, it just depends. It looks to me, and he's got 5 months to learn his lesson. But it looks like Trump has not learned his lesson about moving. You know, you think Hillary's going to move? Trump's supposedly got to move from everything that he's being told, except he's ignoring it. But he's got 5 months to be browbeat into. You know, getting more moderate by the time the debates happen. And we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It will be interesting as this continues. And as it does, we'd love to have you back often to give us your thoughts.
Rick, it's fantastic talking with you. And thank you for inviting me on your great show that you uniquely inform Pennsylvania. And we send it around to everybody we know. So the entire American people, thank you for doing what you do.
All right, Bob. Thanks so much, man.
Yep.
Great talking to Bob Wiener. Again, wienerpublic.com, the website. Check out the op-eds there. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Red roses too. I see them blue.
It is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.